Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. You know, we continued with that E.T. music because there's a bike involved in E.T. And maybe our guest today, Ian A-Strike, might want to have a bike like that where you could just kind of fly off into the air.
Man, if I could repair a bike to make it an E.T. bike that flew into the air, Larry, let me tell you, I would probably have a next level bike shop. That hasn't entered my skill set yet, but, you know, I can always hope.
Well, what has entered Ian's line of business and line of work and expertise is repairing bikes. He'll fix a bike maybe right on your own front lawn, and it's going to be fun talking with him. He's the founder of Curbside Bicycles in Madison and Chicago. It's a traveling bike repair shop, and we'll talk with him about his company. We'll share how to make a few basic fixes on your bike. Maybe we can talk about bike types of bikes. So is your bike, well, let's see, is it making a funny sound? Is there something wrong with your bike? Like my brother one time whose handlebars came off while he was flying down a hill at a very high rate of speed.
Hey, at least he wasn't flying through the air and your handlebars came off.
Well, you can call in with your questions. The number to call is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Well, Ian, maybe to start with, tell us about this business, Curbside Bicycles, and what you do.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Larry. Super jazzed. I started it at the beginning of the pandemic because I was unemployed due to the pandemic, as were many people, and I didn't want to sit around and do nothing. So I pulled on some past skill set of bike repair at the same time that everybody was trying to get out on their bikes. And bike shops are swamped, and everyone people wanted to get outside. So I started just kind of going to people's houses I knew and people who needed bike work and doing mobile bike repair. But then I was in neighborhoods, and people would see me and say, oh, you doing bike repair today? Great. Could I bring my bike over? I'm a block away. So, sure. And I thought, I should just do this. I should set up a pop-up, let the neighborhood know ahead of time, and then they can all bring their bikes and get them fixed up. So that was kind of its humble beginnings, and it was super community-based and oriented, still is. But now I'm in my fourth year, which is awesome. And me and my other partner mechanic, Joey, we set up about 7 pop-up bike repair shops all over Dane County every week. And that's still, the heart of us is in neighborhoods, but we also do businesses. Like this Friday, we're going to be over on State Line Distillery. We also do businesses, like corporate businesses, so people can bike their bike into work, have it tuned up, and then bike home, and apartment buildings. Our bread and butter is tune-ups, but if people need replacement parts, we do that as well. And yeah, it's just been an awesome journey, but I love being outside. I get to chat with people, be in the sun, and work with my hands.
Man, that is such a great concept. I love the neighborhood aspect of it, where you can, and for you, then you can bring a bunch of people in. And you never know, I mean, although it, like I suppose any business, you never know how many people are going to show up, but they're...
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. I mean, I feel like, especially in the neighborhood that I started this in, which is just west of campus, it feels like my home. I mean, whenever I'm set up doing a pop-up, people go past like, oh, I can tell it's spring again. The pop-up bike repair guy is here. We do advertise, like, if there's any neighborhood social media sites where neighbors chat about, like, I need to borrow a cup of sugar or I lost my dog.
Yeah.
We pop up and say, hey, we're doing a bike repair shop this Saturday. So we let people know in advance. That helps inform us how many bikes we're going to have.
If I have, if I come, will you accept my credit card?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. We are in the 21st century. Not quite as far as Rubicon. Just doing a call. But I love sci-fi books. And I was listening to your show on the way here. And I thought I should listen to read that book. Yeah, we take cash, check, Venmo, card.
And you do it in Chicago too?
Yeah, that's a cool story. So in my second year here in Madison, I hired an awesome girl named Amber. And she was my mechanic, and she loved the concept so much and saw the potential that we kind of chatted over the winter of that year. And she said, I would love to take this into a different city. And she wanted to move to Chicago. So I said, all right, great. So we kind of planned it. She moved to Chicago. I think that was winter of 2021. And then 2022, she started the branch there. So she now runs the branch there. She's in her second year. And it's also going wonderful. Kind of a different market, much more high rises and stuff. But she does go into the suburbs outside of Chicago and does the same neighborhood oriented pop-ups as well. So super lucky that my first hire in my second year of business also then spurred it off to Chicago. That's amazing. I don't think that happens often.
I wonder if there'd be a way to. So you've got this, but could you have literally set up places all over the country?
Oh, if there's a will, there's a way, Larry. however, I will say there's really not the will. I really enjoy the community aspect, and the more kind of the larger we get, the more time I find myself on the computer, which is fine. I can do computer stuff, but I'm not so jaded to believe that if we went nationwide, which it would work, it'd be great. But my job would very much so be like a computer job. And I like being out on Madison streets chatting with people. So maybe the Twin Cities. How about let's shoot for that? That's the next branch. And if that goes well, maybe nationwide eventually.
Ian Astrike, our guest today, he has curbside bicycles in Madison and Chicago. He's the founder. Great to have him with us. Questions for him, give a call at 800-642-1234. Maybe you got an issue with your bike or a question about a type of bike. You know what? He can probably answer pretty much anything when it comes to that. So 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org. And for Karen in Madison, who wanted to know what happened to my brother after his handlebars fell off, well, he kind of went over the bicycle, and he wound up with a whole lot of scratches, and he survived.
He survived.
Let's put it that
That's
way.
Great.
With a bruised, a little bit of a bruised face and a lot of bruises on his arms and his chest.
So, hey, tell you what, Larry, had he brought his bike to curbside bicycles, handlebars probably would end up coming off.
Yeah, that was a long time
ago.
I'm sure he's never forgotten it. Andreas in Whitewater emailed, they just can't get a bike chain to stay on their kid's bike. How do you, any tips to help keep a bike chain from falling off?
Yeah, kids' bikes. So there could be a couple things. One, I'll just say that generally people get kids' bikes from department stores, which I don't blame them because kids run through their bikes in a year and then they have to get a new bike. So buying a cheaper bike, that makes sense. However, kids' bikes are typically cheaper, and so the components kind of aren't as precise. And so chains falling off, super common. One thing you might want to check is if the chain, if you kind of smack it, is it real loose? Does it jingle and jangle around? If yes, then there's going to be two bolts on the back where the tire is connected into the bike. And then the chain's going to be wrapped around the little freewheel back there. You loosen those bolts and kind of pull the tire back a bit. Continue pulling the tire back. Keep tension on it as you re-tighten those bolts, and also make sure the tire's still center. So by doing that, you're then kind of not stretching the chain, but tightening up the chain. So making sure it's really hugging the rear and the front gears harder, that will help prevent the chain from falling off. A second suggestion, they do make chain guides. Sometimes these fit on kids' bikes. You strap it to the bottom of this drop post where the seat goes in. And it kind of wraps around the chain on either side of it to prevent it from going left or right off of the front sprocket. So you could look into chain guides as well if it doesn't already have one.
Chris in Black Creek is with us by phone. Let's go there. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Larry. Growing up and in my younger years in Chicago was my third bike shop. I had it. It was called Hell on Wheels. And so I went out for your guests, just a funny little tip. I went out to those massive shorelines of bike racks, and I would hang little rolled up brochures with a rubber band on a thousand bikes. And before I knew it, I was already in full-blown construction. I was working every night, couldn't find enough mechanics to work on the shop. I had to shut down. I had 1,000 bikes, you know. And I just thought your guests would get a kick out of that.
Hey, that's,
you know,
great. I should.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I should hire you as my guerrilla marketer. That's a great, especially in Chicago where there's so many things. I think we need to be slightly cognizant of if we make people angry by hanging stuff on their bike. But you know what? Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah, there you go. Chris, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Rona in Cameron, we'll go to you next. Hi, Rona.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm wondering if your guests can, I'm sure you can't recommend particular brands, but what I'm more interested in are particular features that bikes would have for someone that has wrist and artificial knees and likes a cushy seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. Artificial knees. You don't want to fall. You want a cushy seat. Well, a cushy seat. Get a cushy seat. There you go. That's perfect. I would recommend one that kind of, rather than a straight top bar, one that is generally, they market these as more women's style frames, but honestly, it's just like a big U-shaped front frame. So you can, it's a step through style basically. So you can easily step in and through. And then I know a brand, I think Townie makes them, where the seat is set a little bit further back from the pedals so that your feet are a little bit more in front of you. That makes it easier on the knees since you had an artificial knee replacement. And it also makes it easier to kind of put your feet onto the ground. So, I think a particular brand, if I would recommend it, I know Townie makes some good, comfortable bikes that I think would fit the bill for what you're describing.
Yeah, in one of the things that, you know, on my own road bike, I will get my wrists will start to go fall asleep mm-hmm. on me, and I know I've got the seat adjustment wrong or something, or the height of the bar adjusted a little bit wrong, or maybe it's just because I've done 25 miles or something, and by that time.
It could be. You said you had a road bike?
Yeah.
Yeah. You might think about switching your grip on the road bike, or maybe getting squishier handlebar tape. But yeah, I will say it's kind of pricey, but getting a bike fitting, if you're a serious bicyclist, go and get an actual bike fitting. Somebody who looks at you and says, oh, you need your handlebar stem to be able a little bit longer, and they'll swap that out. Makes a world of difference and make it a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, I did have a fitting on it and with Trek.
Oh, yeah.
And they do a nice job, but I think I replaced the tape on the handlebars, and I think I should have gone with maybe a cushier.
A plush style tape, yeah.
A plush style tape would have been better. Veronica emails to ask, why are bike tires lose air so darn fast, and what kind of pump do you recommend?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked, Veronica. This was going to be my soapbox moment if nobody brought it up. Bike tires, I think everyone's very used to car tires, that they don't have to really worry about pumping up because they bring it into an oil change and they pump it up for you and they hold air for so long. Well, bike tires have much less air to start out with, especially skinny road tires. You pump them up to a super high PSI, but in that tire, there's really not that much air. And rubber is actually naturally porous. So that air is just going to diffuse out of the rubber. So when people come to me and say, oh, I think I need a new tube, you know, I pumped it up a couple weeks ago and now it's really squishy, it's almost flat, and I'm like, yeah, pretty normal. So the skinnier your tire, the faster it's going to lose air. That's just totally normal. Second thing, a lot of times when people come to me asking this exact same question, Veronica, I ask them, when you pump up your tires, are you going to the PSI range that's on the side of the tire, or are you just going until it feels firm? And usually people say, oh, I just go until I can't squish it. And that, you're probably not putting enough air in. So look on the side wall of the tire. That's the side. It's usually going to be black lettering on a black tire, so it's kind of hard to see. But there will be a range of PSI. You want to pump it up within that range of PSI. and then expect to have to do it every couple of weeks.
There you go. And Ian A-Strike, our guest today, and will be with us right up until 12:30 as we talk bikes and bike repair, and you can join in at 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about bicycle repairs businesses in bicycle repairs with our guest, Ian A-Strike. He's the founder of Curbside Bicycles in Madison and Chicago. And he's ready to take your questions. What do you want to know about the business, or what kind of bike repair issues are you dealing with? Or maybe you want to know about particular types of bikes. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I'm wondering, Ian, back to the business for a minute. Do you show up with a truck? Do you have, what do you take with you for something like that?
Good question. Actually, from the beginning, my goal was to keep it as lean as possible while still being able to, like, service 95% of people's problems. So actually, it's funny, both Joey, I, and Amber in Chicago, we all have Subaru Foresters. I've actually been meaning to reach out to Subaru and be like, hey, this would be a cool, like, little story. That just happened accidentally. But the shop actually just fits pretty much in the rear. I have drawers that are built out. So what we bring to a pop-up is we bring the stand, tools. We have all the replacement parts, chains, cables, brake pads, cassettes, tires. And then also a pop-up tent if we want to do a pop-up tent for rain or sun. We set up on in people's driveways or curbsides or outside a grassy area of a business, or if it's a distillery on like their back patio or a brewery. Super, super mobile. So it's actually, I feel like if we don't have like a sprinter van equipped, one, because I'm 6'4" and I actually couldn't stand in it. So that would suck. But two, it would actually hamstring us as to our flexibility of we can just kind of set up anywhere, you know, including like, let's say it's in a busy downtown area and we need to set up inside of a parking garage, like, you know, at the bottom of an apartment building. We can do that in their bike room. So, yeah, it's a kind of cool, very, very remote pop-up setup.
Joan in Madison has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Joan.
Yes, hello. I'd like to know, is there such a thing as a solid rubber tire where you don't need air? And if there's not, is it possible to have one like that? And I'll take your answer out.
Thanks for calling, Joe. Joan is obviously sick of having to fill up her air.
That's right.
Fill the tires with air.
She feels the pain of the last question of why the heck do they go down so fast? Yeah, Joan, they do. They're very new on the market. I honestly don't. No, if you walked into any bike shop, I'm guessing many of them wouldn't have it. But you can get them. I think Specialized. I've seen them on a lot of Specialized bikes for some reason. But yeah, it's a solid rubber, still rather lightweight. Obviously, the downside with that is you get a chunk taken out of it. I mean, it's pretty robust. But yes, they do.
And probably more expensive.
Yeah, it would be more expensive.
And speaking of expense, how much does a bike service cost? It depends, I suppose, on what amount needs to be serviced.
Mm-hmm. And it varies widely. Okay, so if we're just talking like a baseline tune-up, which is what we most often provide, and that includes like shifting and brake adjustment, lubrication, everything, tightening the bolts, pumping the tires, safety check, clean, etc. Here in Madison, Madison's actually oddly expensive. It can run anywhere between $120 and $150 for a baseline tune-up. We actually just charge $95 because we have no overhead. So It's the same tune-up, just cheaper. Let's say you're up 2 hours north in the Fox Valley. Baseline tune-ups up there are about $50. In Chicago, baselines are around 100. So depending where you go around the country, it can kind of vary widely. But that's for a full tune-up. Quick fixes and stuff, you know, you can always bring it into us or any other bike shop. If you need a tube change, that's about 30.
Yeah. Okay. And how often should a bike be serviced?
Depends how much you ride it. Depends what conditions you ride it in. So if we'll do a couple different use cases, let's say that bike has been hanging in your garage for a couple years and gosh darn it, you've been meaning to get it down off the rafters and get it tuned up, but it just hasn't happened. Great time for a tune-up. That's like a quintessential are what we service all the time is we're in neighborhoods and people say, oh, I've got two bikes in my garage. They haven't been serviced for 10 years. Great. If you regularly ride your bike, let's say 1,000 miles a year, a couple thousand, or you like commute on it, especially if you commute on it any part of the winter, so you're getting salt on the bike, then I would definitely recommend yearly tune-ups because you really should be getting your components checked to make sure they're not rusting and binding up and that they're going to keep you safe. But if you're a more casual rider and let's say you do a couple miles a day, a couple times a week, just for like exercise sake, I would say that getting a yearly tune-up is overkill. You could go every 2 years or every 3 years. And a great check is like, does your bike work? I mean, if you keep your tires pumped up and you feel like, yes, it's stopping at stop signs and yes, it's shifting through the gears, then I mean, most likely it's okay. But it never hurts to actually get it looked over for safety's sake, because I have found some bikes that have just like straight loose parts that were about to fall off. And so that's always good to be tightened up.
Joe in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. It's not so much of a question, more than a comment, but I found myself having a bike hanging in my garage for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And when I finally got an e-bike out, and I'm 68 years old, but when I finally got an e-bike, I'll tell you what, life changed. It is a life changer. I would recommend it for anybody. You go all 35, 40 miles, you still get a workout. It's enjoyable. It doesn't hurt going up the hills. And I just wanted to say that about e-bikes. I think that they're the best.
Joe, thank you very much for calling. And you have probably mixed thoughts about them, Ian.
Yeah, as a bike mechanic, I do have mixed thoughts. So I'll just run through a couple of different scenarios. Let's start why e-bikes are great. For what Joe just said, great. If you previously weren't riding a bike due to your knees hurt when you're going up hills, due to the barrier to entry and it was just too far, and by getting an e-bike, that then gets you outside, I think that's awesome. Similarly, like let's say you wanted to commute to work, but your commute's 20 miles and that's too far to bike, but an e-bike makes it feel like 6 miles. Great. Now you're commuting to work on your bike. Where it starts to sort of break down is like, if you want to bike, but you're kind of like, oh, I biking's sort of hard. Maybe an e-bike is going to make it easier. But then when you get on your e-bike, you only go for 2 or 3 miles. Like, you know, it's good that it's still getting you out there, but chances are if you got on your regular bicycle and went 2 to 3 miles, you'd very quickly get used to it and it'd be very fine. And you would save yourself the cost of the e-bike and you'd be getting the exercise. One other reason that I really do like e-bikes. I mean, they make biking much more accessible to a wide variety of people. But the whole industry of bike sellers has learned that people love e-bikes, but people don't like spending the money on an e-bike. So let's make super cheap e-bikes. I would highly recommend not buying like the cheapest e-bike. And that's the reason being is that you're buying kind of like a scooter, you know, something that often can go rather fast with an electrical motor. And if you buy the lowest end e-bike, so we're talking something that's less than $1,000, or just around $1,000, which is still a chunk of change, but as far as e-bikes go, that's one of the cheaper ones. Then all of the components that make up the bike, the shifting and the brakes and just the frame, and the battery and the motor, they're all much cheaper. So they're going to wear really fast. There's a potential for them to be slightly less safe. And then also that battery is going to crap out much quicker. So you bought a new e-bike, however, the battery is going to, you know, burn out in 3-4 years. And then the cost of replacing that battery might be the same as the price you paid for the e-bike. And if it's some just random brand, then you might not even be able to replace the battery. So if you're going to get an e-bike, go with a, I wouldn't say high range one, but a good mid-range is always a good option. I'll just throw out a brand. I have no affiliation with them, but they ship them to your house. Their brand is Radwagon or Rad Power Bikes. I found them to be a really good mid-range bike at a reasonable price.
Yeah, the only other thing I kind of dislike about them is that people, when it comes to safety, people tend to go faster and tend to like to go really fast. And on bike,
yeah, they're fun, right?
On bike paths,
mm-hmm.
like the ones we have in Madison, for example, where there's a lot of people on them, I sometimes have observed, let's put it that way, people on e-bikes who were going faster than they should have been going for the crowd of people that were and bikers that were on it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Especially if you're on a busy trail. I mean, just know that it's pretty easy to go 0 to 15 miles an hour with the same amount of effort that you normally would have gone 0 to 5 miles an hour. So I think that's a good point, Larry.
You mentioned brakes earlier. Bill, excuse me, wants to know, is there a way to stop new brake pads from squeaking? Is it a pad contact positioning issue? That might be something for somebody like you to repair or fix or work on.
Yeah, so one thing I like to say about squeaky brakes to people is if they squeak but they work, it's not usually a safety issue. So you can feel good about that. As long as they're stopping you, that's good. Squeaky brakes certainly, though, can be annoying if I'm not sure what type of brake pads he's installing. If they're disc brakes, which is that little metal rotor on the center hub of your wheel, they do Finish Line. That's a brand. Finish Line makes a disc brake pad cleaning spray that you can spray on. That will often help squeaking. If you had just replaced them and they still squeak, that will help. So a Finish Line disc brake cleaner. If they're rim brakes, so that's what most bikes have, then he asks about a positioning issue. There is something called towing the brakes in, which it means that the front end of the pads contacts the rim before the back end, and usually that will help alleviate squeaking issues. However, the actual adjustment of that can be kind of challenging. So more power to you. Try to do it yourself. But yeah, if you're really struggling and it's super frustrating, it might be worth spending the $20 at the bike shop.
Yeah. Georgia in Madison. Hi.
Yeah, this is Georgia and Phil, Ian.
Oh, hi. How are you, Georgia?
Hi. Well, we're doing okay. Phil's going to do the 19 miles with another person of the Trek 100 on Saturday.
Oh, great. And more power to him.
We're having a little problem with the disc brake on the right. It's too loose, and when I lock it up, It doesn't really hold. It stops the trike, but when I lock it up so we can get him on and off the back, the trike moves.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Is it? Do you know if it's a hydraulic disc brake or a cable disc brake?
I think it's a cable, isn't it, Phil? He thinks it's a cable.
Yeah. So. Well, since I think you probably still have my number, if you want to text me a picture of it, I can tell you what to do. But on a cable disc brake, usually there's a spot with a 5 millimeter Allen. You can stick it in this little, it's like a silver circle, and you tighten that, and you'll actually be able to see that disc brake pad get closer to the disc brake rotor. So if you look at how far the pads are away from the rotor, you can actually tighten those up to the rotor. So you can either text me a picture and I'll send you instructions. Otherwise, I do think you're over on the east side. Check my website, curbsidebicycles.com/Madison. I'm pretty sure I have a pop-up coming up on the east side and I could probably help you out.
All right. There you go, Georgia. Thank you for calling. Don in Iron River will go to you next. Hi, Don.
Hello.
Hi, Don. What's on your mind?
I've observed that there's two types of valve stems on tires, the one I like and the one I don't.
Yeah.
Those actually are the technical terms, too.
Right.
And the one I like is the one I can fill at this local service station.
Yeah.
So can you talk about the rationale for the different two types?
Yeah, for sure. So the one you like is called a Schrader valve, and it's the same type of valve that's on cars, which is why you can fill it at the local service station. I would say on most bikes, that's pretty common. The other type of valve is called a Presta valve, and I think it originated in France. And they started out being on much skinnier tires because the skinny tube couldn't fit a Schrader valve. It was too thick. So a Presta valve is much skinnier. If you have it on your bike, it's this long, skinny metal thing protruding from the rim. They actually, if you have a bike pump, almost all bike pumps nowadays do have a dual pump ability, so they can pump them right up. The only trick is you kind of have to unscrew the tip of it to let air in, but they're very reliable. However, let's say you have the one that you don't like, being the Presta valve, the long skinny one that you can't pump up at your local service station. They do make a valve stem adapter that you can just screw on the top of the Presta valve, thus making the valve type basically a Schrader, and then you could fill it up at your local station, and that's like a dollar.
Or at home.
Right. Yeah. If you buy a bike pump that has both types.
Mine has both types. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And that handles. I actually like Presta valves, the type that you don't like. Those are my favorite. Air goes in a lot easier when you have a bike pump.
But well, maybe it's the two different bikes, but I've got like three bikes.
And, yeah.
And the air holds better in the other. Versus the Presta. It seems to, but maybe that's part of that is the width of the size of the tires.
Yeah, too. That's exactly right. Usually Presta valves are on skinny tires, and skinny tires, you know, has less total air in it, so they go flat faster. So don't let that make you hate Presta valves. That's just the natural air osmotically leaving the rubber.
Tires, back to tires again. The tires give the PSI, that's one number, but
yep.
There's other numbers. What are the other numbers on the, what do they stand for? I suppose that depends on the tire.
It does. Yeah, it can get confusing. So if you're looking for what to pump your tire up to, you look for the range. It's usually like, you know, for a larger tire 30 to 65, for a skinnier tire it might be like 70 to 100, and then it'll say PSI. So if you're looking for what to pump your tire up to, look for what it says and then follow by PSI. There's also another number after that called KPA, which is another measurement of pressure. You can ignore that, your bike pump doesn't have KPA. And then normally there is the measurement of the actual tire, so what's the diameter and what's the width, and that'll often be something like 700 x 20 or 32. Or it might be something like 26x1.95. So that is basically just telling you how big is that tire and how thick around is it, which you really only need to know if you're going to be replacing the tires.
Yeah, and that's probably what, I bet that's what was on Rick and Elkhart Lake's mind. It's probably the width number that he's looking at, because it was a... something point something, so that's probably referring.
Yeah, right. But yes, if you're just kind of staring at your tire, it kind of looks like a different language sometimes.
Mike and Wheatland wonders in an email wonders if you work on recumbent bikes and why there aren't more of them around. The seats are more comfortable, the riding position is off your wrists, and you're with your head up, and you're closer to the ground if you were to fall.
If you were to fall off a recumbent, I think that's impressive. That's a hard fall to happen. I agree on all points. I think there's not more around just because they're expensive. You can usually, and also because they haven't been more common, if you're going to go buy a used bike or you think bike, I need a bike, then you buy an upright bike. And you can usually get upright bikes for less than $1,000. Recumbents, you'd be pretty hard pressed to find one for less than $1,000. But yeah, I mean, better knee position. If you haven't tried one and you're thinking about it, go test ride one. They're fun.
I've got there's a question about what's the best pump to have on a bike. I've got one that I carry on that I have on the frame of my bike.
Oh yeah, that you carry with on rides.
Because especially with the road bike, you can get a flat tire and you're 25 miles from home or whatever.
That's a bummer.
I can't remember the make of it, or is there much to worry about there?
Oh, there's so many different brands that make bike parts and, or, you know, accessories. No, I don't think the brand necessarily matters. The bike pump brand that most easily springs to mind for me is Topeak, T-O-P-E-A-K. They tend to make pretty solid, reliable bike pumps. And I know that they also make portable bike pumps that come with you on rides. So yeah, that's always, if you're going to go, like you just said, on a ride 25 miles out into the country, and you don't have a spare tube and you don't have a pump with you, you are making a mistake because eventually you're going to get
a
flat.
Walking along.
Yes, you are up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah, you definitely would be. So what's your, how do people find out about your, you gave your website, but do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. So we post on neighborhood social media ahead of time. So if you ever see that, that means we're in your area. But on our website, which is curbsidebicycles.com, and here in Madison, /Madison, but curbsidebicycles.com, there is a map on there with a pin dropped at all of our upcoming locations. So people can see at a glance where we're going to be, when we're going to be there, and those locations rotate weekly. So if we're not in your area, we soon will be. Or if you want to host a pop-up at your own house, let's say that you have a big old cargo e-bike and it's not going to move anywhere, you can reach out to us on the website to host a pop-up. So we would be happy to come to your front lawn, and as long as you tell neighbors about it, that's our prerequisite. Please spread the word so that people know we're there, but then you can do a pop-up. And we service here in Madison pretty much all of Dane County, and then down in Chicago, main Chicago and the suburbs.
It has been, so it's curbsidebikes.com, right?
Bicycles. Curbsidebicycles.com. if you Google it, it will for sure come up as well, but curbsidebicycles.com.
Ian, a pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us. Maybe we can do this again down the road.
Oh, I would love to do it. There's garden talk. We could have bike talk. Thanks so much, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
Ian Astrike, our guest, founder of Curbside Bicycles in Madison and Chicago. Thank you so much for listening. Just a look ahead tomorrow. David Drake is back to talk about the world of wildlife. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.